Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He reigns. He reigns. And he reigns forevermore. Stand with me with your Bibles this morning as we go to the Word of God. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Verses 4 through 7. Story of a little girl that whenever her dad opened up the Bible, she asked him, she said, "Daddy, are we going to see God?" And she said, "Yeah, baby, we're going to see God." And that should be the expectation of every believer of Jesus Christ, that when we come to corporate worship, but not just corporate worship, that whenever we open up the book, that the expectation is that we'll see God. Wow, let's try this again. I said every goal of the believer should be that whether I'm privately or corporately, that whenever the book is open, that it's not an opinion that's being preached, but that we'll see God. Let me try it one more time. Want to make sure I'm at the right church this morning. It should be the goal of every believer of Jesus Christ. And this should be the expectation of every believer that wherever I go on a Sunday to sit or a Wednesday to sit to hear the Word of God, that when they open the Bible, I'm on tiptoe anticipation that I'm going to see God. Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 7, which is a familiar passage of Scripture. To all of our first-time guests, we are so glad to have you worshiping with us today. Come on, Hopewell, help me praise God. For all of our first-time guests, those watching online, we thank God for you. Luke says this, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, we worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing. "But if you say so, I'm willing to let down my nets again." And this time the nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. I want you to encourage a neighbor or two around you and say, "Neighbor, I got a word for you this morning. This time will be different." Come on, find you another neighbor somewhere around you. Find somebody else and tell them, say, "Neighbor, I'm not leaving you out today. I got a word for you too. This time it's going to be different." Now, you've been so generous with your time, with your words. Put your hands on yourself and say, "Self, I save the best for last. This time will be different." Come on and put those hands together and give God praise. This time will be different. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. And we thank you for this time now that we get to come to your table. That's been spread, that's ready, oh God, to fill us until we overflow. I pray right now, oh God, that as we come to your word, that we come with expectation, oh God, that you are going to speak directly to us, oh God. We come with expectation that we are going to see you, but not just see you, oh God, but that we're going to hear you. We thank you for your word now that's going to confirm some things. We thank you for your word now that's going to stretch us and challenge us, oh God. We thank you for your word now, oh God, that's going to cause us to believe you again, to trust you again. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. This time will be different. On page 62 of the 1991 Reader's Digest, Jim Burke became the head of new products of the products division at Johnson & Johnson. One of his first projects was the development of a children's chest rub. The product failed miserably, and Bert expected that he would be fired. He got that call, he got that letter, that he was invited into a meeting to see the chairman of the board. However, he was met with a surprising reception. The chairman of the board, Robert Wood Johnson, asked him, "Are you the one who just cost us all that money?" "Well, I just want to congratulate you. If you are making mistakes, that means you're taking risk. And we won't grow unless you take risk." Failure is something in our lives, people of God, that we need to redefine how we view failure. Failure is something that no matter how saved you are, no matter how long you've walked with the Lord, no matter how good your attendance is at church, that failure is something in our course of living that you and I are going to experience. Now, I wish I could tell you that you would only experience failure once in your life, but truth be told, you will experience failure many times in our lives, and it is up to us to be able to have a new perspective of failure so that when we fail, that it would not mean that it's the end of us, so that when we fail, that we won't take this as an attack on our character or our intellect. That when we fail, that we can be able to see this thing not as something that I can never be able to bounce back from, but it is something, Mother Henry, that can be used as a launching pad, Brother Clark, to help me to be able to grow. Because truth be told, saints of God, to help us to change our perspective and how we view failure. Failure is just what Robert Woods Johnson said. It means that you are taking a risk. It means that you are not just playing it safe all the time. It means that there is something on the inside of you that is willing to go out and launch out a little bit into the deep and not always play it good on the shore. It means that there's something on the inside that challenges us and pushes us to be able to go out, because we recognize the fact that we know that there is something more out there for me to be able to see. There's something more out there for me to be able to experience. There is something more that the world has to offer me. So I am willing to be able to take a risk and just see what it will be. Now you have to understand too, at the same time, that if we're going to change our perspective of how we see failure, if we're going to change our perspective on how we receive failure, that also means that failure will never happen if you're not willing to try. Oh, where's my church this morning? I said that failure means that I was willing to go out there and do something different. I was willing to go out there and take a chance. I was willing to go out there and try something different. Our story here, we don't have to look too far. We don't have to tune in to the next episode of Dr. Phil to hear someone tell their story about failure. But thank God that when we open up the book today, that the book gives us some encouragement and lets us know something about failure. Peter here, the Bible says, has been fishing all night long and has caught absolutely nothing. Now you have to understand, there's a different Reverend Williams between Peter out there fishing and me out there fishing. Peter is a skill. This is what he do as a profession. This is something that he recognizes, the fact that he has been trained to be able to fish. He has the patience to fish. He has the longevity to fish. He has everything that is needed to be able to sit out there on the boat and sit for hours to catch some fish. Now, if you ask me to go out there and to fish, I'll back up and say this. I love what fishing produces, but I don't want to go out there and be able to fish. I don't have the patience, because if it's really hot, I'm going to give it about 10 minutes. If nothing bites, I'm out of there. In fact, I'm going to be on the shore, Sister Stacey, because even though my last name is Swift, I can't swim. And I took lessons. I want my money back from the YMCA, because I still cannot swim. If I go out there and fish, there's going to be a total difference. I don't have the patience to sit out there on the boat in the middle of nowhere and get no Wi-Fi connection. I can't get on Instagram. I can't get on Facebook. I can't check my Amazon list. I will lose patience at being out there. But Peter is one that has put in the time and the effort and the energy to be able to fish and to be out there for some time and catch absolutely nothing. It's discouraging. You know what it's like. Peter's context is fishing, but your fishing could be your marriage. Your fishing could be your kids. Your context could be school. Your context could be life. It could be whatever it is that is closest to you that you have put in the time. You have put in the work. You have put in the effort. In fact, let's go ahead and add this in there as well. I got the credentials to be able to do this thing. I went to school. I got the student loans to be able to approve it. I have the scars to be able to approve it. I have the experience, and yet still, I've caught nothing. Bible commentary says that, one commentator says that while they were there trying to fish, they have been washing out their nets because they have absolutely gotten nothing. Imagine for a second that they take his net and he throws it out there, he flings it out there, and he feels a tug. And only realizes it was just the wind blowing a bottle. He goes out there. He throws his net out there again. He feels another tug and gets excited. And realizes it was nothing but some garbage. They're cleaning out their nets, Mother Tessie. They're cleaning out their nets. And Peter has had enough. He has gotten frustrated. He said, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore at all. But something happens in Peter's life that changes his entire life. The Bible says that Jesus goes and enters into Peter's boat. Now, when you look at the scripture right there, it never says, Elder James, that Jesus asked, hey, Peter, do you mind if I get in your boat with you and use it as a pulpit to be able to preach? It does not say that Jesus had asked him if he could do it. It does not even say Peter extended an invitation to Jesus for him to be able to get in his boat. But the Bible says that Jesus got into the boat with Peter. And from Jesus getting into the boat with Peter, it changes the entire course of this life. We are in the second week of 2024. And let me encourage somebody, before you even take another step in moving forward in this year, I need you to go ahead and do what Peter did not do. Extend an invitation to Jesus. And Jesus, I need you to get into my boat. Jesus, I want you in my home. Jesus, I want you on my job. Jesus, I need your help in being Mary. I need your help in raising these kids. I need your help with school. I need your help with work. Jesus, I'm extending you. I don't have to wait for you to come and get in the boat with me. I'm letting you know that you have an open invitation to come along with me, because I realize that when Jesus gets in my boat, when I get Jesus involved in my situations, something good is going to happen to me. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, something good is about to happen to you. Something good is about to happen for you. Something good is about to happen for me. Jesus gets in there, because get this, saints of God, when Jesus gets into our context or whatever it is that we are involved in life that we have extended the invitation to, Jesus getting involved does not always equal comfort. Okay. Let me say it again. When we get Jesus involved, Elder Ford, it does not always necessarily mean that he's coming to comfort us. Now, is he able to comfort us? Absolutely. But sometimes Jesus gets into our boat and we open an invitation for him to be able to get involved, or he just steps in because he wants to use whatever it is that we are experiencing at that time as an opportunity to be able to grow us and to be able to challenge us. Look at what he says in verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out to where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. This time will be different. Here's the first thing, because I won't be afraid to embrace a challenge. This time, somebody say, this time will be different. Because I'm not afraid to embrace the challenge. I'm not afraid to take a risk. I'm not afraid to take a challenge. I'm not afraid to be able to do something differently. In fact, I've been doing the same thing since 2020. I've been doing the same thing before the pandemic, and I'm doing the same thing after the pandemic. But here it is. We're in the new year now. We're in the year 2024, and I will not be afraid to embrace a challenge. Jesus speaks to Peter and says, now go where it is deeper. Let down your net to catch some fish. He tells Jesus before, okay, Jesus, I've been out here. I've been fishing. I've been doing all this stuff. Now, I got to believe if the Peter, I don't know, I'm just using my sanctified imagination. Peter might have said, all right, Jesus, now you are the Savior of the world. You heal people, you deliver people. You go and you touch coffins and little kids get up and go eat and have a good time with their family. You don't really know anything about fishing, Jesus. I have been to fisher schools. I have a BA, an MBA, and a PhD in fishing. I have done all of the credentials and classes to be able to have it now. I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to leave the healing and delivering to you. You leave the fishing to me. But he comes to the resolve and he says, but at your word, I'll do it again. Even on this 14th day of 2024, what is it that Jesus is trying to nudge you to embrace a challenge in your life? What challenge, what risk is Jesus nudging you to be able to go ahead out there and to embrace? Because when you carefully look at verse 4, he already told Peter what's going to happen. He says, I want you to go out into the deeper water. I want you to go out to where it's deeper, to let down your net, because you're going to catch some fish. I've seen your frustration. I've seen your tears. I've seen how upset that you have been. I've seen how frustrated you have been. Now that I'm in your boat, I want to be able to coach you to be able to launch out into the deep to try again. Why do I want you to go out to the deep and try again, Peter? Because this time around is going to be different, because as you're embracing this new challenge that you have, you got me right here with you. Oh, that's the good news right there in that text right there this morning, saints of God. That's the good news that we have this morning, that this time will be different, because as I embrace the challenge, I have Jesus right there with me, coaching me every step of the way in embracing my new challenge. Because truth be told, we've become proficient in the shallows, but now is the moment to navigate the depths. We know how to be able. We have become pros and we have mastered doing in the shores. Now it's time for us to be able to navigate the deeper waters. So now that we have already played it safe and we know what to do, we know that 1 + 1 = 2, we know what's going to happen next, but now it's time to challenge ourselves a little bit more to experience the deepness. Because once again, now that I have Jesus with me, now that Jesus is in my boat, I am not afraid to be able to take a risk. I'm not afraid to be able to launch out into the deep to see what I have to experience, because there are some new experiences that you and I can be able to have if we are willing to embrace the challenges. There's another level of faith that you and I can be able to experience if we are willing to launch out into the deep. Sometimes we want God to lower the net so that we can be able to dunk on that level that we always have been. And we don't want the goal to be lifted, because we realize if the goal is lifted even more, I may not be able to dunk. But the more that the goal is lifted, and the more that I practice, and the more that I launch out there into the deep, sooner or later I will be able to get to the next level that I have to get to. But I must be willing to embrace new challenges. Come on here this morning, saints of God, that you and I, it's a new year. It's a new time in our lives, and we have played it safe long enough. We should be willing and have enough faith, or if we don't have enough faith, that we're willing for our faith to be challenged and stretched so that we can experience something new, so that we can see something new, so that we can be able to see God do something new and amazing in my life. This time, it's going to be different, because I won't be afraid to embrace challenges. But this time will be different, because I'm refusing to let my previous setbacks interfere with my present moments. Look at verse 5.
Verse 5 says, Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time, their nets were so full that they began to tear. I love it. Peter goes over. Simon goes over in his mind. He's trying to rationalize this thing. He's trying to make sense of this thing. He's trying to understand what is really going on at this time. Jesus, I've been out here. I've been putting in the time. I've been putting in the work, and it has not happened yet. But at your word, Lord, I would do exactly what you said to do. Many a times we allow our previous setbacks to interfere with now and what God wants to do in our lives. Because as God is trying to introduce us to something new, as he's trying to set the challenges that he has for us to be able to embrace, we will never see the victory on the other side. We never see what we will gain on the other side because we're always rehearsing how last time didn't work. Have you ever been trying to introduce a new idea to somebody and say, hey, I got a great idea. I know we have always done it this way. I know y'all don't know folks like this, but we have always done it this way. How about, I know we make our sweet potatoes in the oven, but how about we get a black iron skillet and we cook them on the stove? What if we try and do something different? And all people will begin to do is rehearse how we tried something last time and it did not work. We tried a different way and it did not come out right. And we interfere with the now and the moment that God has set before us. But there's some of us in our minds right now that I've made it for myself personally, that I'm not going to allow for previous mistakes and previous failures and setbacks to interfere with what God desires to do in my life. Not next year, not by the end of the year, but what he wants to do in my life right now. I'm not going to allow past mistakes to stop me from experiencing God's best right now. I'm not going to allow past failures to cause me to miss what God desires to do in my life right now. It may not have worked last time. I've learned some lessons along the way, but this time it's going to be different. Why? Because I got Jesus in my boat, and I'm submitted to him to do whatever he says to do, how he says to do it, and when he says to do it. The difference here that makes people successful this time around is his obedience. Oh, I just cursed in this new year. It was his obedience, because he says, all right, Lord, I've been out here. I've been doing the work, Lord. I ain't caught nothing. In other words, Jesus is offering him a new reality. Jesus is offering him another opportunity, but he makes an excuse. He used his past mistakes as an excuse as to why he can't experience something new. Sounds like some folks we know. But it's just like us to make an excuse of why we can't do something new or fresh. Simply because we don't want to experience and try something new, and we don't want to embrace the challenges ahead. It is a famished believer of Jesus Christ that continues to be the same year after year after year. I question any believer's faith that has never been challenged. And it stays the same way year after year after year after year. Makes an excuse. I've been out here, Lord. I've been doing it, Lord. But he comes to the resolve and says, but at your word, I'll do it again. I love it, because here it is, saints of God. Jesus will use the tools that led to your failure to achieve victory. Notice here, look at the text. 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 Right here. Jesus tells him, launch out into the deep. And when you launch out into the deep, you're going to catch some fish. Peter says, Simon says, okay, Lord, I've been doing this for a long time now, and I haven't caught anything, but at your word, I will go out there and do it again. And the Bible says, verse 6, at this time, their nest was so full of fish, they began to tear. Notice here, Jesus did not change tools. He used the same tools that Simon had and said, I will take the tools that led to your failure and flip that thing around and allow you to be able to achieve victory. And somebody can be able to testify in 2024. Some things have not changed, but the same tools that God gave me in 2023, he can take those same tools and turn those things around and use it for me to be able to have victory in my life. But here it is, saints of God. Am I willing to obey him at his command and do what he says to do when it doesn't make sense? I know. We will love it if Jesus would give instructions that made sense. We will love it if Jesus would give instructions that was kind of line by line, precept by precept. But sometimes Jesus will ask us to do some stuff that don't make sense to our natural minds, but it stirs up our faith of curiosity to see, wait a minute, it doesn't sound right in the natural, but my faith is intrigued. So I think I'm going to try it out. Imagine the prophet in the Old Testament comes to the widow's house and she tells the man of God, hey, I'm about to die and my child's about to die. We got a little meal in the house. I'm going to fry us up a piece of hot water cornbread and then that's going to be it. And we're going to go home and see the Lord. The man of God says, I need you to go and make me a biscuit. She says, Reverend, I just told you. I only have a little bit of oil left. I'm going to go in there, fry me a piece of hot water cornbread, split it with my son. We're going to eat it, and that's going to be it. But she adhered to what the man of God said, and she obeyed the instructions, even as crazy as they sounded. And the Bible says that she and her child had more and everything that they needed simply because they obeyed. Can God trust us enough? Can we trust God enough to allow him to use the same tools that led to our failure for him to flip it around and turn it around and use the same tools to lead us to victory? Thank you, Holy Spirit, but here's the challenge. For him to use the same tools that led to my failure means that I may have to go back to the place where I failed. Come on, Pastor. Wait a minute, Lord. You want me to apply for the same job that told me no again? Lord, you want me to go. You know what they said in the interview. You know what they said. You want me to return back to the place and to do it again. He says, yes, that's exactly what I want you to do. Because if you're not willing to embrace the place of failure, how can I be able to take what led to your failure, to use the same tools and turn around to give you victory in the same place where you fail? It takes faith to be able to go back and to embrace where I have messed up, where I have dropped the ball, but to have enough faith to believe that God can take me right back to where I failed and give me victory in the same place. But am I willing to obey him? Am I willing to act on what he says? Or would I allow for my intellect to talk me out of my faith growing? Or would I allow myself to get in my head so much that I would talk myself out of what God desires to do in my life? Not tomorrow, not next year, but what he wants to do in my life right now. Am I meeting every challenge that he presents before me with an excuse because I don't desire to be stretched? Jesus will use the tools that led to your failure
to achieve your victory. But do I have enough faith in him to go back to where I failed? Do I have enough trust in him to return back and take that same test again? Do I love him? Do I believe him enough to go back so that he could take that place that was failure and turn it into a place of victory? Am I willing to obey his instructions, or do I want to have a conference meeting with God and tell him to rearrange some things because I don't like the plans that he has? Oh, y'all laughing because you done did it. I done did it too. Okay, God, I hear what you're saying. However, if we can make an addendum to part two, I would greatly appreciate it. This time will be different, not only because I won't be afraid to embrace the challenge. This time is going to be different because I'm going to refuse to allow my setbacks to interfere with my current moment. But this time is going to be different. Here it is, sense of God, because I'm not going to reject help. Look at verse 7. Y'all mighty quiet in here this morning. I love it. Verse 7 says, a shout for help brought their partners in the other boat. And soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. This time around, it's going to be different, not only because I'm inviting Jesus to get into my boat and that I'm going to obey him and do exactly what he says to do, but this time it's going to be different because I realize I need some help. And the help that I need is not because I know somebody already quoting Psalms 121. Oh, Reverend, I'm right there with you. All of my help comes from the Lord that made the heavens and the earth. And our help does absolutely come from God that gives us all the help that we need. But God also works through people to be able to provide the help that we need in life. Then there was a holy hush in the church. Not only does God help us, but God works through people to be able to help us in this thing called life. This time is going to be different because I'm realizing I can't do it all by myself. This time is going to be different because I realize I can't do it all by myself. And here it is. I'm about to curse for the second time this morning. I'm not going to allow my pride to get in the way of me thinking and conditioning myself that I don't need help. Okay. Y'all looking at me strange. You just been to Walmart. You got the good part right up there up front by the cul-de-sac. You go in there, you got all your stuff. Even came out a little bit cheaper than what you had expected. Praise God. You get that to your car, you put everything in your car. You have a nice ride home. You got Sirius FM radio playing. You got water coolers playing. I mean, you jamming on your way home. You having a good time. Even though you just went grocery shopping, you go through the drive-thru at McDonald's to get you a little snacky snack before you make dinner. You get there to the house, and you are met with the ultimate challenge. I got 15 bags and two hands, but I'm only making one trip. So you wait a second. You sitting there strategizing. You called on Jesus. Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, Father Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, Abigail, Zerubbabel. Come on, we got this. And you have help in the house. But it's a challenge for you to see, can I get all 15 bags? I mean bags, brother, try to about to break. But we done got creative, done tied bags up from the front, the side, and the bottom because we have made up in our minds. Sister, I'm only making one trip into the, almost died and saw Jesus. But you say you don't have a case of water too.
I mean, you got stuff on top of your head, on your legs. I mean, you're struggling. And then you have some flights of steps that you got to take to get there.
Come on, sir.
But you have access to help. But you don't ask. You have help that's in the window looking at you like Miss Silly was when Mr. was in the kitchen cooking for Suge Avery, knowing he's about to make a fool of himself. Y'all know the scene. Y'all done seen both movies. Y'all seen I Love and read the book. You know what I'm talking about. And you have help right there, but you won't ask. This time is going to be different. Because I'm not going to reject the help that God will send in my life. Don't you realize in no sense of God that God is so intentional, God is so strategic that he will arrange for people to be in our lives at the right time, in the right season, and in the right position to be able to help us? But we lack discernment. We don't notice. We don't see the handwriting on the wall. We don't notice what God is doing. We don't recognize what God is doing. And we miss the help that God puts in front of us because it doesn't look like the help that we thought that we wanted. Oh, story time. I never forget Sister Swims was pregnant with Carrie. And she told me one day she had this love affair with pizza from Casey's. I mean, she loved it. And I was on my way out the door one day. You know, she's pregnant, it's our first baby. I'm trying to dot every I, cross every T, do everything right. Whenever she asks, I'm trying to do it. Even though I might have had an attitude behind the scenes, I had a smile on my face, and I went on and did it. And so she said she wanted pizza. And so, okay, all right, I'll go get the pizza. And so I put the order in, all that good stuff, and I come home. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm husband of the year. I'm baby daddy of the year. I done went to Walmart. I done got the list that she gave me. I done washed her car. I done put gas in there. I'm baby daddy of the year. And I walk into the house, Jerrion, proud. Pizza in my hand, looking like a delivery boy, ready to give her the pizza. I walk in, and the woman of God said, Little Caesars? You bought me Little Caesars? I said, daughter of Jerusalem, you said pizza. She said, well, you know what I like. You know I like Casey's pizza. I said, you didn't say Casey's, you said pizza. But I didn't say Little Caesars either. I said, well, what we gonna do with the pizza now? I can't take it back. The need that she had was met. But she rejected the need because the box didn't look like what she thought it was going to look like. How many of us have missed and rejected the help that God has orchestrated and sent into our lives because it did not look like what we thought it was going to look like? But oh, have we learned, and oh, how this is a new year, and this will be the year that's going to be different for me because I'm not going to reject help. I'm going to be discerning. I'm going to have my eyes and ears open, waiting to see how God is going to be a very present help in the time of trouble by sending someone or some people in my life to help me at the right time. Simon understood that there's no need for me to sit here and to struggle and to act as if, because here's the thing, saints of God, you know that you need help. But you won't ask. You notice she sure should have, but I don't even know what we did with it. I done got mad all over again. I'm about to, when the prayer team come down to pray, I got to go down to the altar. I done got upset again. That was $8.92 that was wasted. We know we need help. We know that we're struggling. but we will refuse. Look at what Simon says. At this time, the nest was so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and were on the verge of sinking. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Here it is. Notice here that when he called for help, when he put the shout out there for help, help came, but help was equipped to handle everything he had. God is not just going to send us help. God is going to send us equipped help that will know exactly what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. I can't get no help in here this morning. I said God is not just going to send us any old kind of help. God is going to send us the right help that has been equipped and graced and anointed to be able to help us with the problem or the issue or the blessing that we have at hand. I'm going to say it again, and I'm preaching to myself. God is going to not only just send us help, but he's going to send us the right help that will be anointed and graced and equipped. Those are what the verse said. The verse says, he put the shut out there and they came with their boat. Ready. Ready to help him in the blessing that he had just experienced. God's going to send us people, thank you, Holy Spirit, that won't be intimidated by the blessings of God in our lives, but they will celebrate and collaborate with us because they recognize the fact not only is Simon blessed, not only is his boat blessed, but now that he done put the shout out there and I came along, now my boat is blessed and I got fish.
Come on, that's a good word. Yeah. Yes,
sir. So it's not just a blessing for those that ask for the help, but it's also a blessing for those that show up to be able to help. That your intentions are in the right place, that you're just coming to be a blessing, but your boat will be filled and overflowing, getting ready to sink. Because of what you did. If you heard nothing else that I said this morning, I want you to hear this. The blessings unleashed by your obedience extends beyond yourself to benefit others. Your obedience, our obedience has the power and potential to extend beyond just us, but able to bless those that are connected with us. Our blessings are unleashed by our obedience that will extend beyond just us. Talking to the one that you always helping, folks. You always willing to be there for people. And don't allow, because what others haven't done for you, what you did for them, to cause you not to do for others anymore. Because here's what I've realized, Reverend Williams, is that when other folks have forgotten, God hasn't. I mean, he has the best books in the house. When others have overlooked it and unforgotten and didn't say thank you, Jesus has never forgotten. And he's seen everything that you have done.
Thank you, Lord.
And because of your obedience,
thank you, Lord.
The blessings are going to extend beyond yourself, but it's going to be able to benefit others. And here it is. It's not going to be something that you have to wait till the end of the year, by next year, that you have to experience. It's going to be something now. Everybody say now.
Now.
Everybody say now again.
That
we can be able to see and experience in our lives right now. This time has to be different than last time. Can't be afraid to go back to where I may have failed. Can't allow the voice of the past to be greater than the voice of now. Can't allow myself to make excuses
when all I have to do is just embrace the challenge. But that Jesus is right there ready to coach me. Ready to coach me. But it's all up to us. Am I willing to obey? Am I willing to embrace the challenge? And am I willing to not allow my pride to cause me to miss out on the help that God has already provided? He's just waiting for me to get in a position in the right spot so that he can send the help at the right time to help me to do and to become what God desires me to do and to become. Ever since last Sunday, preaching from Ephesians 3:20, I tell you, that word now has been ringing in my spirit all week. And it's been encouraging me now. Who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all can ask, think, or wish, according to his power that's working in us. Now, everybody say now. Say now again.
Now.
Say now with a little bit more up.
Now.
I love it. God is ready to move on our behalf now. We could shout and we could dance on that. But before we shout and dance on it, are we willing to take on our human responsibility of obeying him? Because every blessing, there's some obedience that can be traced back to it. There's an act of obedience that can be traced back to it that we can say, oh, because I obeyed him in this and he allowed for this to be able, because I obeyed him in that, this is a result of my obedience to him. There may be somebody here this morning, someone watching online, you're watching on Facebook, you're watching on YouTube, and you're not saved. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You don't have to wait until you get yourself together. You can get saved right now.